Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna, beginning with text 38, with no purport. Not really a purport. Translation, there are people who say, I know everything about Krishna. Let them think that way. As far as I'm concerned, I do not wish to speak very much about this matter. Oh my Lord, let me say this much. As far as your opulences are concerned, they're all beyond the reach of my mind, body, and words. Text 39. Anudanihi mam Krishna. Sarvam tvam vesi sarvadrik. Tvameva jagatam nato. Chaga eta tavarpitam. Anuja nihi. Please give leave. Mam to me. Krishna. O Lord Krishna. Sarvam. Everything. Tvam. You. Vetsi, no. Sarvadrik, all seeing. Tvam, you. Eva, alone. Jagatam, of all the universes. Nata, the master. Jagat, universe. Etat, this. Tava, to you, Arpitam is offered. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada's disciples. My dear Lord Krishna, I now humbly request permission to leave. Actually, you are the knower and seer of all things. Indeed, you are the Lord of all the universes. And yet, I offer this one universe unto you. Purport. In his Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada has quoted Lord Brahma as follows. My dear Lord, although you are the Supreme Lord of all creation, I sometimes falsely think that I am the master of this universe. I may be master of this universe, but there are innumerable universes. And there are also innumerable Brahmas who preside over these universes. But actually, you are the master of them all. As the super soul in everyone's heart, you know everything. Please, therefore, accept me as your surrendered servant. I hope that you will excuse me for disturbing you in your pastimes with your friends and calves. Now, if you will kindly allow me, I will immediately leave so you can enjoy your friends and calves without my presence. The words sarva, tvam, vesi, sarva, drik are very significant here. Lord Krishna knows everything and sees everything. Be careful. And therefore, Lord Brahma does not need to remain in Vrindavan to maintain his personal loving contact with the Lord. In fact, as the creator of the universe, Lord Brahma was somewhat out of place in the simple, blissful atmosphere of Vrindavan, where Lord Krishna was exhibiting his supreme opulences in herding cows, enjoying picnics, playing games, and so on. Upon seeing the intense love the residents of Vrindavan had for Lord Krishna, Brahma felt unqualified to remain there. He was not eager to give up the Lord's association, but he felt it better to return to his personal devotional service in Brahmaloka. Somewhat embarrassed and unhappy over his foolish attempt at bewildering the Lord, Brahma preferred to resume his transcendent loving service rather than try to enjoy the Lord's presence. As we were going over yesterday, In the evening class, Shreyo Svadamo Viguna Paradharma Sunustita Shreyo Dharma Svadanam start over again. Shreyan Svadamo Viguna Paradharma Svanusita Shre Dharme Nidanam Shreyak Paradharmo Bhayavaha. Shreyak, what does Shreyak mean? Very important word to know. There's Shreyas and Prayas. What does Shreyas mean? Yes, long-term benefit. And Prayas?
Prayas is endeavor. Prayas is endeavor. To try.
Shreyas, Prayas. Prayas.
Prayas.
Prayas
or Prayas?
Pray, yes. I pray, yes. not pray with an E, not an A. Pray. Well, it's short term. Shreyas and prayas. And then there's prayasa. Prayasa. Endeavor, yeah. Shreyak Svadumo. What does Svadumo mean? Swa. What is Swa?
Onto.
What's that?
Onto.
U-N-T-O. U-N-T-O. Onto. No. Shreyak Swa means you. Yourself.
Yeah, onto.
Yourself. Your. Shreyak Sva Dhamma Dharma. Dharma, he just left.
One's duty,
yes. You don't say it. Shreyak Sva Dhamma Viguna. What is Viguna? What is Viguna? Yes, correct.
I know the translation of this verse.
Yes, well, that's good. It helps to know the word for word. Viguna, done imperfectly. So it's better to perform one's own duty even imperfectly. In other words, we have to find out what our duty is. Now here, Brahma, he figured out that he was not quite qualified to be there in Vrindavan. Although people go to Vrindavan, and devotees go there, and they figured, if I can change Vrindavan, then Vrindavan should come to me. In other words, if I can't develop the actual real mood of Vrindavan, I'm going to bring my mood into Vrindavan and get everyone else in Vrindavan to get into my mood. That's what the Sahajis do. They're not interested in the actual mood of Vrindavan. They're interested in going to Vrindavan and then making Vrindavan into their mood. But they never really go into Vrindavan. Therefore, they say that in Vrindavan, there's a layer of Maya, of material energy in Vrindavan that covers Vrindavan and doesn't allow the materialists to enter into Vrindavan, into the real Vrindavan. Like sometimes we sing this song, Vishaya Charya. Okay. It's a different song. Ha ha Prabhu. That's a different song. Let's start from the beginning. Hari Hari. Koranga Balite Habe Pulaka Sharir. Hari Hari Balite Nai Name Nai Babe Nira. Arkabe Nitai Chan Karuna Habe Samsara Vastana Mura. Habe tucha habe. Vishaya charya. When will my mind become purified of all material desires so that I can actually enter into the land of Vrindavan? So entering into the land of Vrindavan is not a physical accomplishment. It's a consciousness accomplishment. Unless one develops the same mood as the residents of Vrindavan, one cannot enter into Vrindavan. When Kansa tried to enter into Vrindavan, because he heard that, I think he was trying to capture Shrimati Radharani or something. So he entered into Vrindavan, but he got stopped. And since he wanted to enter into Vrindavan, they stopped him and took him to a lake, and they threw Kamsa into the lake, and he became a woman, a gopi. And then they chastised him. So he was quite embarrassed to become a lady, because he was a big kshatriya. And suddenly he's getting chastised by all these other gopis. So he tried to get out of there as quickly as possible. Never came back again. So he was just in the wrong mood. And he got when he tried to enter into Vrindavan, he got what he was looking for, but not exactly in the way he thought he was going to get it. So similarly, we have to ascertain what is our qualification. First of all, what is our duty in whatever we're doing? There's a time, place, and audience, and it's our duty to figure it out. Otherwise, we enter into a place and we expect everything to change according to our mentality, rather than fitting into the space that we're in with the proper mentality to serve Krishna. If we're blind to where we are and what's going on, and we expect everything else to become harmonized with me, 99.9% of the time we'll be very disappointed that things don't harmonize around me. I'm supposed to harmonize around everything else in service to Krishna. And even if I have the mood, I want to serve Krishna, but everyone should follow me. You have to look behind you and see if anyone's following you before you think you're actually doing anything of any significance. And look around and see who's following you. If you see all kinds of strange people following you, maybe you have to change what you're doing. So this is due to Swadhamo. People don't know what their duty is, or they don't like what their duty is. And therefore, viguna, they perform someone else's duty, because they think that will be better. As they say, the grass always appears greener on the other side. And besides that, due to the fact that we've been brought up in a culture where no one knows what they're doing, they think, as Krishna says, chintam apareyam cha, pralayantam upashitya, kama pavoga paramam, etavam eti nischitya. They believe that to gratify their senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization. And therefore there's no end to their anxiety. So get money so you can eat honey. That's the whole, more or less, what people think is their duty. Get money and try to enjoy your senses. And there is no dharma. There's no rules or regulations you're supposed to follow. The whole world is just, you know, chaos. My mind is in chaos. Everyone else's mind is in chaos. The world is in chaos. And I live in chaos. So there's nothing to learn about duty. Duty is whatever my senses urge me. And in order to satisfy my senses, by hook or by crook, get money. Money, money, sweeter than honey, Prahlad Maharaj said. The thief, the professional soldier, and the businessman, they'll risk their very dear lives to get some money. Because with money you can get honey. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, there is no dharma. And there is, because there's no dharma, there's no actually real proper economic development. The modern society lives off animal slaughter for the most part. Animal slaughter and making up for the fact that the most important thing in life is to eat properly. I mean, it's not the most important thing in life, but anyhow, for material maintenance, food in some way. Food doesn't only mean what we put into our mouth. Food also means breathing. We also breathe food. Prana, the air, is also food for us. And if you don't believe me, stop breathing for a few minutes. See how you feel. You might get hungry for air after a few minutes. Are you trying that out? You might get a little hungry for air. So we have to learn breathing. And water is also food. Just eat dry crackers the next 2 weeks without any water. See how you feel. So we need food, and for food, we need rain, and for rain, we need sacrifice. And not only that, even if there's sacrifice and there's rain, well, if that's all there is in Satyuga, food used to grow spontaneously. People didn't even have to go and work in the garden or in the fields. The rain was such, ground was so fertile, the seeds were already there, and the rain would come and the plants would just grow and people would just pick the food, whatever they needed. But now, because they've eliminated the cow and the other animals, even the horses, they eat horse meat now. They feed it to the dogs, because the dog is man's best friend. And so, because of that, they need tractors, and because tractors, they need factories, because they need factories, they need oil, and because they need oil, they need armies, and they need tankers, and they need armies to get the oil from people, countries that have it, and it gets all very complicated. Therefore, people, they don't want to follow Dharma, which is ultimately to raise their, to do their duty, according to their psychophysical nature, to perform sacrifice for Vishnu. Because they refuse to perform sacrifice for Vishnu, they're hungry. And because they're hungry, they're trying to gratify, their senses are hungry for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and they can't satisfy by any amount of economic development their hunger, therefore they go crazy after some time. Because no matter if you perform sinful activities in your economic development, your senses become more agitated. And therefore it doesn't matter how much you eat, how much air you breathe, how much water, whatever you drink, alcohol, you'll never be happy, you'll never be satisfied. Because there's no liberation from the distress of material existence. If in our attempt to become happy, we become more and more absorbed in this bodily concept of life, then we become more and more miserable. If you have a toothache and you think, let me meditate on the toothache, how do you feel? I'm in pain, I'm suffering, I want to jump over the bridge, I'm in so much pain, what should I do? Why don't you just meditate on the toothache? Just think about it. Get more and more absorbed in it. I think I'd rather jump over the bridge. No, you have to put your mind on something else. And unless we know where to put the mind, wherever we put the mind in the material world, will generally bring us back to the material concept of life. Which means, if we're not thinking about the pain of the tooth, we'll think about the pain of our leg, or the back, or something. Only when we think about Krishna can we actually get free from our, put our consciousness in something which is pleasant. Not only pleasant in the beginning, but when we concentrate our minds upon Krishna, it becomes blissful and pleasurable. So Brahma understood that. Shrayan Swadama Viguna Paradharma Sunustita. So it's better to perform one's own prescribed duty than someone else's duty. Because destruction, Shreyo Swadama Viguna Paradharma Sunustita. Shrey dharma nidinam shreyak paradharmo bhayavaha. Because nidana means destruction and bhaya means fear. Because even if we're unsuccessful in the performance of our duty, and duty doesn't only mean varnanashram. That's very complicated for us right now because there is no varnashram system. So how can you have a duty in varnashram when there's no real varnashram system? The only varnashram system, I mean, there is kind of a perverted varnashram system. Intelligent people generally get a job they used to get a job as teachers or scientists or whatever, but sometimes very foolish people get jobs like that. Anyhow, they generally excel in use of their intelligence. At least they are intelligent enough to get the job. Well, most other people are just in the bar after work. They're not interested in any higher employment. They're simply interested in getting a good drink after and having a place to sleep and other things. So there is a kind of class of people who are like Shudras. There's a class of people who are expert in exploiting others. They can convince something that's worth five euros. They'll get people to pay 100 euros for it by putting decorations around it and getting people to testify it caused them to grow hair on their chest after they took it. So there's all kinds of people who are interested in cheating the Shudras. And there's a few people that get hired by the people who are interested in cheating to make laws that honest people get put into jail and all the cheaters get awarded with higher posts. And then you have a few so-called intelligent people who confirm that by scientific study that when you do take this thing, it does grow hair in your chest. It's been scientifically proved. Of course, the hair grows in your chest and the hair falls out in every other place in your body. But that's not so important. But it's been scientifically proved. And they're the ones who preach that left is actually right and right is actually left. Black is white and white is black. And if you don't believe it, you're a communist. You're a conspiracy theorist. And everything else. So there's a kind of varnashram where you have people in positions, but they're unqualified. And the real varnashram is very complicated because, first of all, varnashram is meant for sacrifice to Vishnu, and people don't believe in Vishnu. But even if they follow Vishnu's instructions, people don't have the intelligence, the will, the bodily strength, even to grow food in themselves. They find it a big challenge even to go outside and touch the earth with their foot. They think they're going to die as soon as the foot touches the earth. They'll get poisoned by the earth. So it's very difficult. But in this age we have duty. Our duty is to chant Hare Krishna and serve the Sankirtan movement and do something for us, spreading Krishna consciousness. So that's the duty that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us, and it's not difficult to find out what we're supposed to do, because it's probably to set up a movement where there are authorities. Not only our mind is the authority, but there are authorities who are supposed to engage us in the Sankirtan movement. And if we say, well, I don't want to do this, then they ask us, would you do that? And they say, no, I don't want to do that either. What do you want to do? I want to be the authority and tell you what to do. That's what I want. Puna Mushika Bhava. You know that? Puna Mushika Bhava. Bhava. Puna, Punar. Mushika. What is Mushika? What's that? Mushika means in Sanskrit mouse.
Mouse.
Mm-hmm. Bhava. What does bhava mean? To become in Sanskrit. Again, become a mouse. You know that story, Puna Mushika Bhava? Everyone should know that story. You know that story, Puna Mushika Bhava? You know it? One time, one saintly person went to one mouse went to a saintly person because everyone who goes to a saintly person asks them for some ashabat. Everyone goes to the saintly person because they think by their blessings their material desires will be fulfilled. And sometimes saintly persons just say, ashabat, so be it, whatever your desire is. Blessings. What's that? So the mouse came to the saintly person and said, so what do you want? He said, well, cats. The cats are chasing me. So what do you want? I want to become a cat. Ashabat. So be it. Week later he comes back. So, you're back again? Mr. Cat, what do you want now? He said, dogs. They keep on chasing me. So what do you want? I want to become a dog. So be it. Week later he comes back. It's a dog. Well, what's the problem now? Tiger, they chase me. So what do you want? I want to become a tiger. So be it. And then the tiger started to look at him with eyes. So the saintly person said, so, what do you want now? He said, I want to eat you. Puna Mushika Baba, again become a mouse. So we approach Krishna with our desires, and ultimately we want to, Krishna fulfills them all, and then we want to replace Krishna. This Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan, and one devotee, Bhavananda Prabhu, was helping him up the hill, because New Vrindavan is very hilly, the land in West Virginia. So when they got up the hill, Prabhupada just threw his arm away. Bhavananda's arm away. He said, I don't need you anymore. Go away. So Bhavananda was shocked. He said, this is the impersonalist. They surrender to God or to the guru. They want the guru, let me go up and up and up. And when they become realized, Brahman realized, whatever, they think they become God, they just throw guru away or throw the deity away. I don't need you anymore. Now I'm God. So that's not our duty. We have to find out what our duty is in the Sankirtan movement and do it, even if it's imperfect. But if we're doing it according to authority and we're doing it to please Krishna, then our lives will become perfect in Krishna consciousness. There's no question of success and failure. Of course, there is something called success in some ways. But the real success, the ultimate success, is that we become Krishna conscious by doing what we've been authorized to do to please Krishna. That's all we have to do. Whether everyone else likes it or dislikes it, of course we have to take into account. We should get proper feedback from others. But the most important thing is that this is what I've been asked to do and I'm doing it to please Krishna. Then our movement will become successful because at least one person will become Krishna conscious. Which is the aim of everything we're doing. And if we get millions of successes and we don't become Krishna conscious, we've just wasted our time. So Brahma was aware of that, and he didn't want to waste his time trying to fit into a place he couldn't possibly fit into. Could you imagine the coward boys going out playing in this, with this four-headed man dressed with four helmets on his head? You know, it would be a little bit rasa-basa, out of place. During the Rasa dance, this four-headed man walks in and says, what's going on here? So he left. He was intelligent enough to leave and went back to his proper place where he could actually do his proper devotional service, sadhana bhakti. He's a regulated devotee, which means that he gets up at the beginning of his daytime. He gets up, chants his rounds and does all his duties. He doesn't wake up and Krishna says, well, it's time to create the world. He said, well, I don't really feel like that. I'm a spontaneous devotee. I feel like going back to sleep again. When are you seeing me tomorrow, Krishna? See if I'm in the mood. No, he does his duty. Otherwise, the universe wouldn't go on. If Krishna had some spontaneous devotee who didn't know that he should be regulated into creating the universe, we'd all be in a lot of problems. So therefore, Brahma is a regulated devotee, although he's the head of our sampradaya, but he's a perfectly regulated devotee. He does his duty. Although he may have made a little mistake trying to test Krishna, but anyhow, he's in the mode of passion. So there's a little bit chance for some kind of error on his part. So, but for ourselves, whatever we're in, we shouldn't we have our Vanaran Ashram that we've been given, that at least so far this movement recognizes something like men, and the opposite, the other gender is women. At least we still believe that. Although rapidly society is changing. But I don't think we're going to have another ashram for, I don't know, maybe we will. You never know. Some temples may be very innovative. 72 ashrams. So at least we know there's men and women, and we know usually the men sit on this side and the women sit on this side, although it wouldn't be a problem if they sat on this side and the men sat on this side. But you know, we have separation because we actually believe there's such a thing that fire melts butter. We actually believe that still. We haven't had any scientific evidence that butter melts fire so far, but that may be coming soon. Science is a way of proving everything, whatever you want. So we have that, and we have we have rules and regulations, but they're pretty minor. Not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for instance, he wouldn't even speak to a lady. So we're not so strict. And when his former friend, kind of parent actually, came to see him in Jagannath Puri, and he mentioned Mukunda Madhava, Mukunda, it wasn't Mukunda, but it was, I forget her name. Anyhow, he mentioned his wife's name, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grew up with them, and they were sweet makers, so this Madhaji used to give Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sweets. So as a little boy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in a sannyasi. So he had a very affectionate relationship with him. So Mukunda, I forget his name, complete name, he mentioned his wife had come. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time was a sannyasi, but it was improper to mention in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a woman. So, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu checked himself because of his affectionate relationship with this lady, this Madhaji, in his childhood. Therefore, he didn't say anything. But it was clear from Krishna's Kaviraj that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to solve the dilemma of relationships, how he could be such a strict sannyasi and at the same time, somehow or another, of course he wasn't disturbed, show the proper example in relationships. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict, but we're not so strict. Nor was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers. Sometimes they accused Rupa Goswami of not seeing Mirabai because she was a lady. But this is just false stories. Mirabai was a great devotee. She was a devotee, but she was considered by many to be a great devotee, although she wasn't exactly in our line of Krishna consciousness. But Rupa Goswami didn't refuse to see her. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set the example. Otherwise, if he didn't set the example, everyone would do whatever they wanted. So we're not so strict, but we are supposed to be strict in following our duty. In other words, once it's clear what our duty is, we're supposed to follow it. Or else, where is our shelter? What shelter do we have? Who are we following? We have to follow someone or something. We don't follow our authorities. Now, our authority may be wrong. If they tell us to go out and steal money from the bank, the next question is, who goes with me to do it? Who drives the car away? No, the next question is, what are you talking about? We do have our duties that Prabhupada has given us in his books and his example, and our authorities can't just come up with anything. But if they tell us something which is bona fide and which is doable, if they ask us, can go take out the garbage, and we say, how dare you tell me to take out the garbage? Who do you think you are? Well, I'm the temple president. Who are you? Well, I'm a new bhakta. New bhaktas don't do such things. No, we have to be reasonable and see if actually we can do it. It's within our capacity. And if it's actually going to... And if we do it to please Krishna, to please the devotees, to serve the Sankirtan movement, that this is Guru Sadhana Shastra have affirmed that this is a bona fide service, we should do it happily. And then we'll think about Krishna happily in any circumstance. It's not that there's one service that we do that's always going to be pleasant. But if we have some service to do that's not so pleasant, and we just forget about the unpleasantness and just do it to please Krishna, to please Guru Sadhana, please Guru and Krishna and the devotees, then the result is, well, Krishna will give us his mercy, and we'll be able to think about him, even in the midst of this difficulty, and therefore we're being practiced for the most difficult time. We have to leave this body. Unless we practice thinking about Krishna in difficulty, how are we possibly going to be able to pass that test when we have to leave this body? And anyone who believes that they're not going to leave their body sometime or another, you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong movement. Because we believe it. Just like we still believe that, basically speaking, there's men and women. Although it's being disputed nowadays. Next, scientists will prove that the body never grows old or dies. It just changes. It's the same body always. Always. It just changes, that's all. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes. Microphone.
Thank you for cheering me up today. I was quite gloomy when I came, but now I'm very cheerful and very at ease because your lecture was really something special. But I do have a question. And I want to know, what is my duty when anger is in question? You know, when a person becomes really angry, when you can't control yourself because you get into a special exacerbating situation when you can't really suppress the anger. So the question is it okay that we suppress it, or is it okay that we express it? And when we need to suppress it, how do we do that in that moment?
Well, we neither suppress it nor express it. We think about, for instance, we can think about Nrisimhadeva ripping apart Hiranyakashipu.
Well, I couldn't really understand what you said.
We don't suppress it. We don't suppress anger. And we don't express it.
Either.
No, we think about, you know, Lord Nrisimhadeva, half man, half lion,
yeah,
ripping apart Hiranyakashipu in great anger. So we experience Krishna's anger.
Uh-huh.
And then our anger will become nullified.
But what do you do in case when you're there and you feel like you're pricked with a pin in the butt? And you reflexively...
Take the pin out. Well, we can't give up our intelligence and think that we're going to find ourselves in a favorable situation. We have to use our intelligence and express anger appropriately.
Right.
So anger is expressed towards those who are against Krishna or those who are against Krishna's devotees. If we express anger out of our own frustration, the result is that from anger comes bewilderment, delusion. So we may express it temporarily and get satisfied that I've expressed my anger, but the next moment we'll fall into depression and illusion.
I know, I have experienced that. Thank you very much.
Anything else? Yes.
Thank you for an inspiring lecture. I would just like to mention about the importance of following authorities. How can we do this until we follow the authorities? So, for example, how can we really from the heart develop this desire and then,
Well, don't expect from your heart everything's going to happen at once. We should use our intelligence. That's called faith. In other words, that's why we have these classes. No, we don't expect everyone to walk out of the class, their hearts melted. I'm not on that platform to melt anyone's heart. Need to be able to laugh a little bit, not melt their hearts. But this class is to fill our brains with intelligence so we can do the things that act with our body, with our mind, and with our words in such a way is that Krishna will be pleased with us, our acharyas will be pleased with us, so that they'll melt our hearts for us. They'll appear within us in our consciousness and melt our hearts by giving us the intelligence by which we can feel their loving presence, their spiritual energy. So we follow, first of all, we try to follow their intelligence, understand things properly, understand what the proper activity is and how to do it, what the proper mood is, and then we try it out. And then Krishna reciprocates. It says almost always Krishna, he always, eventually he reciprocates. But he says there, tate nukampam susamikshamano punjan evatma kritam vipakam ridvadva fubir vivitanamaste jiveta sad bhakti sadaya sadaya bhak. Krishna reciprocates. That's the test we have to pass. Now we should choose authorities who are in the line of disciple succession. Just like a temple president, he's in the line of disciple succession if he's carrying out the orders of the parampara, trying to help people, help the devotees become Krishna conscious, and trying to help others become Krishna conscious too. So if we were in part of that team to assist others to become Krishna conscious, then it's a bona fide authority for us to follow. Anything else? Kwala, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.